Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, here with C.J. Stroud talking about the Texans' offseason, particularly the acquisition of Stephon Diggs.
I think we've done a really great job. Shout out to Nick, man. Nick and D'Amico put together a great roster, and you know, it's very exciting times in Houston.
What was your first reaction when you heard Stephon Diggs was coming to the squad?
Yeah, so I mean, of course, like being the quarterback, I kind of had got word and had some conversations here and there with Nick, and you know, try to help him out as much receiver and as a person. You know, the things that I was asleep when I found out. Like I was telling the media the other day, like my boy Chase B texted me, and he was like, "Bro, how you feeling?" So he's asking me how am I feeling because we got Steph. I ain't know that. I'm thinking, like, he's asking me, like, how am I doing? I'm good, fam. How are you? And he didn't respond. And I had, like, five texts like that, like, man, congrats. I'm like, man, what happened? So then I hop on Instagram, I hop on Twitter, and I finally seen it. I was stoked, man. I hit Steph because we were talking dang near the whole week, really, like, 2 weeks consistently trying to figure it out, you know. So it was a blessing.
All right, there you go. It was a blessing. What does Diggs think, though? We haven't heard from him. Nick Caserio said they're not into that type of
thing. They don't play that game.
Yeah, they don't play that. They're hardos. Yeah. Here's Diggs, though. Finally heard him.
What's up?
What's up, brother?
A7.
What up, Trim?
I was going to say what's up to Micah, but I don't really.
Nah, for real, though.
That's crazy. What's up, man? You know, I'm real jealous, but, you know, I'm going to come down to Houston to come see you, big bro. Don't worry, bro.
Come holler at me.
I am.
We're going to go holler at them.
Oh, for sure. No curse words. Sorry.
It's crazy, bro.
What is it like for you, man, to be joining that squad, a team on the up and up?
I'm extremely excited. He's a hell of a quarterback. He's a hell of a leader. As you watch those guys throughout the season last year, you kind of start building something extremely special. Him as a quarterback and him as you see him lead his team, it was something that we all kind of got excited about, something that, you know, you kind of noticed it around the league. If you were watching it, you heard about it. And that's something that I kind of took heed to. And in the offseason, the more conversations I had with him on a personal level, kind of like it's easy to fall in love with a quarterback like that.
All right.
Just made it more exciting to be.
Yeah, what's up, Diggs?
To know you got the guy.
Diana Rossini said that the Texans are trying to get in on the back end of the draft. I do wonder. We look at this this layout, just 33 through 38. You can make a case that all these teams need wide receiver. Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at that.
New England. Cardinals. Although they just got Marvin Harrison Jr., so let's be serious. Chargers, definitely. And then the Titans, perhaps. So, yeah, I don't know that Adonai Mitchell and Ladd McConkey make it down to the Texans, which is fine. Then maybe you can go with some Kool-Aid. Yeah, or
maybe they can trade.
Who knows? We'll see. Oh, no. Yeah, maybe Nick can call Gerard Mayo. Hey, remember the old days, man?
Yeah, yeah.
How you doing, man?
Mm-hmm.
Good to see you.
I remember when I drafted you.
Yes.
I remember it like
I scouted
yesterday.
You.
I remember how great of a player you were, man. I always
I remember that phone call that I made.
And here I am making another phone call.
How you doing, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of phone calls, perhaps the funniest draft phone call of all time. We're here in a sec. But let's talk about the quarterback, 6 of 12 in round 1 to start off the draft. None more surprising than Michael Penix. This might be the most surprising draft pick that I've ever witnessed, quite honestly. I'm trying to go through it. I mean, obviously there's always – I remember when the Raiders drafted Darius Heyward-Bey and it was like a running joke. It was like, man, this guy ran a 4.3. Al Davis likes guys.
Yeah.
And he did it. But you give Kirk Cousins – At bare minimum, 2 years, $100 million guaranteed. And then you draft Michael Penix. Did you see what Lombardi said about it? Lombardi said that the Falcons are behaving like a guy with no money but just bought a second Rolex. You can't wear two Rolexes, Terry Fontenot. Here is Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris facing the media types and trying to explain what the hell they were thinking.
When you can add a high caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk. Michael Penix is. We're talking about the future. But we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback.
Questions for Terry or Raheem, whichever one of you called Kirk when you were on the clock and you tell me about it. What's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know, and obviously we...
Reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got called on the clock, obviously, because it's a sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things, unless Kirk decides to tell you some of those things, that, whatever the case may be. But he's a competitor, just like us all, and you can always expect those things to go just like you kind of think.
Now, his agents kind of been telling us that they were shocked and dismayed and so that they were informed on the clock.
Yes.
Don't ever feel bad for Terry Fontenot or Raheem Morris when things start to go sideways, which they already are. This was clown stuff. You just spent $100 million guaranteed on Kirk Cousins. You're clearly talking about the next 2 years to win. The division is gettable. And you go and draft a quarterback, which, by the way, even if you think of those things, has more question marks than any of the other guys that were up there because of all the injuries. This was a clown stuff. Like, I it shouldn't even bother me because Falcons, who cares? But I'm like, how? It just amazes me how we put these people on a pedestal. They can be dominant.
Do we?
GMs are always put on a pedestal.
Nah, come on.
It's talk
Who's
the
we?
Language.
You don't.
We as no, I don't. But we as like analysts.
I feel like there's healthy skepticism and with GMs fans, now.
Yeah, but they're always like, you know, they talk the language.
Why don't you coach the team? Yeah, why don't you be the GM?
Yeah, exactly. Like he's in football.
And then
football.
They do stuff like this.
He's been in football for 20 years. Yes, he's incompetent. He's been in football for, like, I can't believe how bad this was. Again, it shouldn't even bother me. Who cares? It probably helps the Texans in a weird way, you know, because there's another player taken off the board. But either way, it's don't ever, ever, ever feel bad when these guys start to get raked over the coals.
It's so bad.
They've
either way,
it.
It's so bad. Either way you look at it, man.
Yeah.
Even if Penix end up being a good quarterback, why did you sign Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. Yeah.
I want you guys to sit crisscross applesauce. I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay.
Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, not too long ago, a couple months to be exact, there was a young man by the name of JJ.
Mm-hmm.
That man was coached by a man named Jim. They came to Houston with a goal to do something that hadn't been done in a long, long time, win a national championship. As they were on the field, a man by the name of John mooched his way into the stadium, and he witnessed history as J.J. McCarthy and Jim won that national championship. 2 months later, J.J., against all odds, was a first-round pick in the NFL draft by the Minnesota Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in this J.J. guy, Jet? Because you are the guy named John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You witnessed him win a national championship.
Why was I even involved in this story?
Because you witnessed him win a national championship.
Yeah, I did.
So you witnessed him at his best.
Yes, actually.
Would you
was.
Take J.J. McCarthy in the first round of the NFL draft?
Yeah, you know the answer here. I wouldn't. I would say this. I will say this. I would take him in the first round ahead of Michael Penix Jr.
Okay.
And I love Michael Penix Jr. Like, loved him as a college football player. Awesome. Too many injuries, man.
Yeah, they faced each other in that game.
Yeah. He made him look bad. Well, the defense made him look bad. But, I wouldn't take him in the first round, but I'd take him ahead of Penix Jr.
The legend, Chris Russo, Mad Dog Russo,
mm-hmm.
He's not really a fan of J.J. McCarthy either.
Name me the game at Michigan where Harbaugh had to say, here, J.J., you got to win us this game. We're not running the ball well. We're in a shootout. Our defense is gassed. Go out there and win a game. There is not one game in his college career where he had to do that. He had a drive or two, one against Alabama. I'm not going to 4th-and-2 completion, touchdown, forced overtime, I understand. But where was the game where you said to yourself, there's the quarterback who brought us down the field under some adverse circumstances when everybody else was falling apart, and he hung in there for us and got us to win. I don't have that game.
Where did the come from? And by the way, Mike Meltzer was very adamant about this when he saw the tweet about it. He pointed out a couple of games, including an Ohio State game when he had three touchdowns and such. So he has had those games. But to be fair, and this is one of the reasons that I'm not, you know, I love the kid. I mean, obviously national champion and all that, and I think certainly deserved to be drafted. I just wouldn't have put him up there. I don't think by and large he was as dynamic as some of these other quarterbacks that were taken.
He's definitely not dynamic.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not slow. He's, I mean, I,
is he better than Mac Jones when he came out of college?
Mac Jones?
Yeah.
No? Is he? I mean, I don't think so.
Mac Jones was.
I mean, he had Waddle and Devontae Smith, which is a pretty good duo.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys were okay.
But
no, I'm not like dumping on him. But as a first round quarterback, I'm like, man.
I think that he's in that class.
Yeah.
But I think if Mac Jones had got drafted by San Francisco, he might have won a Super Bowl.
Who knows with those guys?
Yeah, because I mean, he just would have replaced Jimmy G.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, it's a whole.
It was a wild first round, man.
I'm just glad we don't have to have these discussions.
Wild.
Yeah. No, Bo Nix.
It's one of the wildest. What is that? What is that?
It was wild.
How is Bo Nix a thing?
Yeah.
Once I seen Penix, I'm like, oh, we might get six or seven quarterbacks.
Have you ever watched Bo Nix and said, man, he's it?
That's a first round pick.
He sucked
right
at
there.
Auburn. At Oregon, it just seemed all system. It's
he was
like all
okay
these kings
at Auburn, but I never thought that.
They run those plays at Oregon where he's literally sprinting and he like throws it to him.
Yeah.
It just seems all system-y.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's wild. I guess Sean Payton thinks he can do something with him. Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
See how that goes. Diana Rossini, early in the draft, she said that the 49ers were trying to perhaps trade Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk to get up. They ended up drafting a receiver. I wonder if they're going to be more willing now.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Texans liked Deebo Samuel? What if the Texans, what if Bobby Slowick could run some reverses with Deebo Samuel and Deebo
like
Samuel? Deebo Samuel could help you at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah.
He knows the system. He knows the guys. What if the Texans did some cap gymnastics and they decided to bring in Deebo?
I actually
like don't be against this.
No, like I said, I get it, but man, you got to take advantage of the rookie contracts.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
Well, that could be kind of maybe taking advantage. I don't know. That's wild. Bill Belichick told an interesting story about Randy Moss, which we heard earlier in the show. I want you to hear this Gronk story. So Gronk was drafted. The last time Nick Caserio was with an organization and they had the number 42 overall pick, Gronk was drafted by the Patriots. And after he was drafted, he was with his brothers on stage. They were
Yeah, I remember this.
And then I guess it shows Bill Belichick watching him. He actually put the Patriots helmet on and was colliding with someone else that was wearing a helmet. He was taking it extremely far, and he was on the
Gronk
stage forever.
Yeah.
Here's Gronk's memories about this moment, which Nick Caserio and Bill Belichick were a part of.
When I was drafted to the Patriots, it was a proud moment. My family came on stage as well. We got in a huddle. We were doing hoo, 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 hoo in the huddle, jumping up and down. And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call from the Patriots.
Hi, Rob.
And they said, hey, Rob, like, you can get off the stage now. Like, enough is enough. And I'm sitting there like, wow, I'm already in trouble. It's been 5 minutes since I've been on the Patriots, and I'm already in trouble. I can picture Bill in that draft room just being like, why the f*** did we just draft this kid?
Oh, look at this. Lord have mercy.
That was Nick Caserio that said, Lord have mercy. But, hey, I think it all worked out for everyone. I think it all worked out.
He says, Lord have mercy. Sees him. Who? Yeah, I'd say that went all right.
I think it worked out all right.
Yeah, and you know what? Y'all should have been calling Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
The tight end you drafted a few rounds later. Maybe y'all should have been giving him a phone call.
Yeah.
Sorry that he was broing out with his bros on stage and ready to go. Just give Aaron Hernandez that extra phone call, Bill.
Yeah.
From traded in 2022 to extended in 2024. We all remember the draft day trade of A.J. Brown, which led to Mike Vrabel having not the best reaction. That was a couple years ago. Yesterday, the Eagles, which, by the way, they got a lot of money to pay receivers.
They had a good day.
Yeah, they're the new Ravens. Players just fall in their lap.
Yeah.
The Eagles, 3-year, $96 million extension for A.J. Brown. So this is right after the Devontae Smith.
So it just every time you talk about A.J. Brown, you just think, what the hell were the Titans thinking?
Yeah, the Eagles got Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo.
That's the one we were talking about earlier. Probably
right before when the Texans would have selected.
Yeah, probably the best cornerback. Arguable. I liked, Arnold from Alabama, too. But, the Eagles did okay. That's exactly what they needed, and they got the best one. Or the first one. We'll see if it's the best one. But they had dibs on cornerback.
I was impressed with Nick Saban yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I was impressed with Saban. I saw
thought he did a good job. Mm-hmm. Now, is he going to get bad 3 years in or not? I don't think so. I think he's going to put in the effort.
I think they're at the age, both he and Belichick, where they don't need – they're not going to coach again. You know, maybe Belichick, but they can just say whatever they want.
The other thing about Saban that I think he has as an advantage over everyone else, and I know they all have relationships, but his track record – since he's been at Bama, first round picks. I think what is he up by, like 23?
Yeah,
something insane.
Mm-hmm.
He knows GMs.
Oh yeah,
like it's not like I'm sure that you know. Oh, there were some of these guys know GMs, mm-hmm. but like he freaking knows GMs.
The GMs were coming. I mean, like basically, you know, telling him, begging him, you know, to be their friend.
Yeah.
You know, so he could find out everything he could about their players.
So Dave Tepper has a video that went viral.
You saw it.
Owner, I just saw it. The owner of the Panthers, WBTV, caught it. So there's a restaurant. It's called the Dilworth Neighborhood Grill. And they just put up a sign that says, please let the coach and GM pick this year.
Yeah.
Now, we've already seen the Dave Tepper video of him throwing a drink at someone and then just walking out like nothing happened. In this video, he walks into the restaurant. Someone's wearing an Eagles hat. He's going to act like it was playful. He takes the hat off the guy's head, the Eagles, sets it down, and then shows it to a guy. You don't ever take someone's hat off, brother.
No, I agree.
And then he just walks out. My thing is this. The guy's obviously a D-piece. He's a weasel. But when I look at this, I just kind of think, like, I can't imagine how bad this guy's treated people behind the scenes in the many instances in which it doesn't get caught on camera. This guy's a bad guy, man.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy.
Yeah. No, he absolutely. And people say that, like people who have worked for him.
Yeah.
Like, he's petty.
He's a bad human being.
Mean.
No doubt about
entitled.
It.
Entitled. Yeah. No, absolutely. No, when I saw, that's weird you said that, because I'm like, he's like, ha, ha, ha. That wasn't ha-ha.
Yeah, he's trying to act like he's just playing. Yeah. You don't grab another dude's hat.
No, that wasn't ha-ha.
And, dude, they said that. Like, could you imagine if Jerry Jones, every time something happened, he just pulled over?
Or Cal McNair back in the day.
Sell the team?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is asinine. This is just pathetic
on
his end. I don't know what the heck he's doing. That's ridiculous. I won't put him in the slime off because, I mean, he could probably win it every week. Yeah. Plus, we got a pretty strong candidates this week, if we're being honest. Pretty strong candidates. And neither one of us
for a change
is here. Despite you saying that your daughter
never
needed
said that.
A large jersey.
Never said that. Well, I said that I could give it to her.
But despite that, Lopez not in.
She's a petite beauty.
That's how you make up for it, baby.
I'm making up for anything.
Coming up next, it's time for the slime. An NFL GM, the new manager for your Houston Astros, and a football player that might just need to get cut. Enough is enough. It's time for the slime next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
David Culley's back in town, man. He is back in town, or is he? It is time for the slime.
It's time for the weekly slime.
Slime season.
The biggest displays of weekly slimery.
Man, you going to hell on scholarship.
As decided by your favorite H-Town hosts and the Loopholes.
Man, look at this slime ball.
This is the Friday Slime Off on Sports Radio 610.
All right, well, Terry Fontenot of the Atlanta Falcons and Raheem Morris, the coach.
Slimes.
They went to Kirk Cousins, coming off a torn Achilles. They gave him $100 million guaranteed at minimum the next 2 years. And then they drafted Michael Penix. Here was their explanation with the media. This is a John Lopez nomination.
Yeah.
The Shot Callers in Atlanta, slime ball nomination number one, which we do every Friday at 1:20.
Yeah, when you can add a high caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk. Michael Penix is. We're talking about the future. But we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback.
Questions for Terry or Raheem, whichever one of you called Kirk when you were on the clock and you tell me about it. What's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know. And obviously,
reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got called on the clock, obviously, because it's a sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things. And reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things, unless Kirk decides to tell you some of those things, that whatever the case may be. But he's a competitor, just like us all. And you can always expect those things to go just like you kind of think.
His agents kind of been telling us that they were shocked and dismayed, and so that they were informed on the clock.
Yes.
Yes, they were. So, first of all, big time slime ball move, letting him know as the clock is running and you're calling in the pick. You're turning in the pick. Hey, Kirk, yeah, we're drafting right now. Drafting a quarterback. Oh, cool. Okay, cool. All right, look, talk to you later. Nah, man, that's a slime ball move right there. Secondly, if you did your job correctly with Kirk Cousins, you won't have to worry about 2 years down the road. I mean, it'll be three, four, whatever years. And so why'd you even draft? I mean, these guys are incompetent. Incompetent. Don't look at it any other way. Just to like create this weird vibe in the locker room.
Penix turns 24 in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So he'll be
He's 2 years older than CJ.
He'll be 26 pushing 27 in 2 years.
Two knee injuries.
Now, what if it's 3 years, you know? So you're drafting a guy that's going to be like 27, 28 by the time you end up using him?
Cousins will be okay, though, man. He made some money.
Oh, no, he shouldn't. I mean,
I think they could actually be good. I might have been nice to add a weapon or something.
That's the thing. You know? Spend $100
maybe
million,
a wide receiver or something.
$100 million guaranteed. Might want to, you know, help him. Do the best you can for
him. Vision's kind of open. So that's slime number one. Slime number two, Joe Espada, a.k.a. David Culley. Mm-hmm. This guy, look, he just sat around with the Yankees. He sat around with the Astros. He's David Culley. He's David Culley with Andy Reid. He's David Culley with John Harbaugh. And yesterday, the dude walks out to the field. You can basically read his lips. He says, throw me out. He's not even trying to act like he's mad. We've seen this trick before. Mm-hmm. But he can't even act like he's mad. And then the umpire says, are you sure? He says, yeah. And then he throws him out. Here's Joe Espada on the explanation of getting tossed.
You know, did not agree with his strike zone today.
Throughout the whole game?
Yeah, I thought there were some, you know, pitches that didn't go our way, and I just didn't agree with him.
Why'd you kind of choose that moment right there?
I just got tired of watching.
You're tired of watching, huh? Okay. All right, dude.
Kind of loses the effect of being tossed when you do it so kindly.
Moron, we can see you. Like, you at least got to make it. You at least, I see managers do, I've seen coaches do this all the time.
He ain't the first manager that wanted to get out.
But you got to at least put on a show, act mad.
Yeah, throw your hat down, man.
Put on a show, get your team riled up, fired up, whatever.
That's you upset?
Yeah.
Have a little respect for what the Astros are. There's people more ticked off than you. Have a little respect.
It doesn't even have any effect. All you're doing is getting fined.
And then this is him talking about the fire. Here's his passion for wanting the Astros to get out of trouble.
They're fighting, man. They want to get back to playing the type of baseball that we are capable of. But it's not happening, and it's not going to happen unless we change it. Like, no one is going to hand us anything. This is we have to fight through this. Is there a team that could do it? It's this club. So I know they will turn these things around,
man.
But there's got to be a little more urgency. There's got to be more fire in the middle of the game where we find ourselves back against the corner. We just got to fight. And if we do that, we'll be fine.
Let's go, Dusty.
Come on, man.
Let's go, Dusty.
Like, this was, I actually kind of feel bad for him in a little way because he's going to get fired.
Dusty's getting a lot of love now. He's looking good. But look, I look at this like, were you begging for Bill O'Brien when Culley was here? Not really. Yeah. And I'm not saying Dusty's David Culley, but I mean, you can hire a worse manager.
Yeah.
You can need to make a change and hire a worse manager.
Yeah.
Which is what they did. They hired David Culley, basically, a.k.a. Joe Espada. Next contestant. All right. This is embarrassing. Okay, so we have contestant number one, the Atlanta Shot Callers, when it comes to Kirk Cousins. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Contestant number two, Joe Culley Espada.
Yeah.
This is Deontay Johnson. Okay. He went out to eat with his new coach, Dave Canales, formerly of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was asked about the dinner. I think he's dead serious here. And I don't know if I want this guy on my football team. Dead serious.
Because Dave, he was cool. To be honest, I didn't know he was the head coach when I went out to dinner with him. But I'm like, because he was just talking, like, just his energy he brings. And then when I after the dinner, I'm like, somebody told me he was the head coach. I'm like, oh, I was so surprised. Like, but other than that, like, I love his energy. So, like I said, I'm excited to play for him.
What?
Come on.
What? What in the world is that?
And Canales was like, really?
Y'all don't introduce each other? Like, when you introduce, forward to coaching you, son.
He had to have.
Oh, hey, coach, how you doing, sir?
I wonder if he got baked before dinner.
How baked did he get?
Like, oh, that's the head coach?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, I didn't know that. I thought it was weird how he was talking about how I'd fit in the offense and stuff. I thought he was just a fan,
What
bro.
About the conversations?
Damn.
Like,
man.
How do you think you're going to feel into this offense? Fit into this offense?
That's why he was asking if I preferred to line up in the slot or the outside, man.
Had to have gotten baked, right?
That makes sense, bro.
That's all I can understand. That's all I can see. Yeah. He was high as a kite.
I mean, there were questions about him in Pittsburgh. I believe it now.
He was higher than Fontenot and Raheem Morris.
Good Lord. Damn.
Figgy?
Right. Who are we voting for here?
I mean, are we really voting at this point, man?
It's that much of a slam dunk, isn't it?
You don't like Deontay Johnson?
No, that's not it.
Nah. I got to go with Espada, man.
I do, too. This guy's a clown. He's a clown. I'm sorry. And I think it was time for Dusty to ride off into the sunset. I think they were. But they hired the biggest dope that has ever managed the Astros. And the biggest, like, this guy. You put him up on a stage. You imagine, what if they had a coaching convention and they had M.A. Adoka going up there and talking, D'Amico Ryans, and then this goofball's going up there and speaking.
Yeah. I what I'm going to do, yes, I'm going to agree with Espada, but I'm going to give a little hat tip to Adam Spillane. Adam Spillane gets a little shrapnel. He gets a little shrapnel on this slime ball of the week this week. Oh, that guy, ooh, boy, wait till you get a load of his fire. He's going to get thrown out of some games this year, boy. Dude, he was in a library getting thrown out of the game. It seemed like. Like, come on, Adam, what are you selling us? Oh boy, he's a fiery one. He's going to bring that heat to the Astros. It's Espada with a little shrapnel.
Yeah, I can't believe Spillane said this guy had some fire.
Little shrapnel sprinkled on Adam Spillane. It's
unbelievable. Coming up next, CJ Stroud breaks down the draft, and we're going to go live to the draft party. We are hours away from the Texans making picks. We got a lot of thoughts to squeeze in to the next few minutes next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, so we're a few hours away from the Texans finally making a pick. Yesterday was a wild day when it came to the NFL draft. A lot of very nice, intriguing ball players available for the Houston Texans at many positions. We've talked about them. But let's talk about the ones who went yesterday that perhaps the Texans would have been interested in. And I wonder, Ricky Pearsall, out of Florida, the wide receiver, I really wonder if Nick Caserio was trying to trade up and get this guy. Because C.J. Stroud's reaction on Bleacher Report, it just didn't seem like, oh, this guy's gone. Good for him. It seemed like someone who wanted the guy to be one of his teammates. Here was C.J. Stroud's reaction. And keep in mind, there's a couple of interesting wide receiver options that have slid into day two, specifically Mo City Mitch, a.k.a. Adonai Mitchell, and the honky receiver, a.k.a. Ladd McConkey, and Keon Coleman out of Florida State. But here was C.J. Stroud's reaction to Ricky Pearsall.
The Niners select...
Wow. Ooh. Your guy.
Well, we probably wasn't going to get a receiver, but hey, shout out to Pearsall.
That was the first reaction I've seen you do that.
Dang.
Ricky Pearsall, the pick for the Niners.
How is he even on their radar? Yeah. I'm happy for him, though, because he want to go in the first round and get some more money. I talked to him a couple times, man. Congrats, bro. That's big time. Bro, he's elite. You'll see.
He gets
especially
open.
Especially in that offense, man. Kyle's going to dial it up for him.
Kyle,
that's why I feel like he was going to fit in our system.
4.41 with a 1.49 10-yard split.
Oh, he's nasty, bro.
Well, if you give him a free release, he gets open.
I don't care if you press him. You put on the Missouri game, they press man a lot, bro. It's just that, Tank has it, like that. Just that little quick, little hezzy, like.
You're this effusive in your praise.
I don't know what it is, man. I'm not saying like I'm some guru or some receiver, like GOAT, but I know routes when I see them. I know football players.
Well, you've played with like five Pro Bowl wide receivers at this
exactly. point. So like when I watched him, like at first I was like, okay, yeah, he's good. Because I seen him at Arizona State, and then his first year of Florida was okay. This last year, bro, he put it together. Bro, when I tell you, I don't know what, it's like Tank. Like, you can't just put one, like, it's everything combined. Mm. I just text my boy, one of my best friends. He's always with me. And I tell him, like, dang, they got Pearsall. I wanted him bad, like, man. Dude. Especially, like, when before we didn't know we were going to get Steph, Pearsall was my guy. Like, that's the one I wanted. So that's a big-time get right there, man. Dang, man.
All right.
Yeah, he.
I mean, did that sound like? I mean, I know that he's doing the, but why would he be upset by it? Like, if
he loved. I mean, he just loves that guy, obviously.
Yeah, and it seems like he had hope that maybe he would be there.
It seemed like it was a chance.
Yeah, like there was a chance.
Like he was going to go to 59
because
or something.
He ain't do that with Marvin Harrison Jr.
No,
right. It was no chance.
Right. Yeah. So it seems like he was getting to the point where it was like, hey, could it happen?
It might happen.
Like, was he thinking 59? Was he thinking there'd be a slide or what?
If this was more than a ruse, the whole rumor about moving into the first round, I think the odds are pretty good. It was for that dude. It was for Pearsall.
Man,
sound like he was betting the trade up.
But now that it's not him, I think Casario's going back to the next adjustment. You know, maybe stay where they are, maybe move up someone else, maybe a different position.
We like to lean local, so I don't want to like turn this into a San Francisco 49er conversation. But the reports were that they're looking to trade Ayuk or Samuel. That's per Russini. I mean, is there any way the Texans get in on a Deebo Samuel?
I can't say no, but.
They're going to have all these wide receivers coming off the books next year. You're still going to have the C.J. Stroud.
Exactly.
One-year deal. He can play running back, too.
Mm-hmm.
And receiver. You know, Bobby's got to find him a guy to run reverses with, doesn't he? I just can't. I can't imagine Bobby.
Oh, he's going to do that. And they already have some guys, but he's definitely going to do that. I can't say no, but I would put it as more unlikely than possible. So here's the best thing about yesterday's draft. This is the best way I can put it. You really only missed a chance on about four players you could have had because you had the number 23 pick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how good the day went. At number 23, it ended up being Jacksonville's pick. Brian Thomas, 24, Terrion Arnold, loved him. Don't worry about 25 or 26. Those were some linemen. 27, Darius Robinson, maybe. Xavier Worthy after that.
and then another cornerback, Nate Wiggins, and then Ricky Pearsall. So like five players.
Yeah.
And like that really is all you missed out on by trading that pick.
The Deebo Samuel thing's interesting because, I mean, there's an out in 2025. I mean, he's making $20 million this year, and then next year he's making like $16 with the 24 hit. And you're going to have Diggs, Nico off the books. I'm playing Madden like a mofo, but I just kind of wonder, you know? I mean, you can do some gymnastics. Could that be something? I mean, is San Francisco drafting Pearsall and saying, hey, let's just add him to this?
Exactly.
When you have two receivers that you're shopping around, like, doesn't that not make sense to where they're...
No, he's going to be shopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a relationship.
San Fran, do not even think about trading Deebo Samuel to the Chiefs or something like that.
Oh,
like, Lord. That just seems like just seems like something that these teams want to do. Like Buffalo, who traded with Kansas City so that Xavier Worthy could go play with Patrick Mahomes. Here was CJ Stroud's reaction to that.
Oh, yeah, man, they know what they're doing in Kansas City. They're winning. So, you know, that's impressive, man. I think, like you said, Andy Reid having DeSean Jackson, that's who my comp would be. I think he's a better route runner than DeSean Jackson was a little bit. Zay has a lot of great routes, but like you said, just straight speed. And that's a good pick, man. AFC just got harder.
Have you ever worked out with him before?
I haven't, but I know him personally. Like he's from Fresno, so, you know, another Cali kid. So, man, congrats to Zay, man.
DeSean Jackson, a Cali guy as well.
Right.
Man.
Well, I mean, you are more confident today that they're going to get another receiver, though, right? Just based on his reaction, what he may or may not have said regarding we're still going to get a receiver.
Some people were saying it was. Some people were saying it wasn't.
It's hard to make out. And what's available?
Well, I mean, if Adonai Mitchell or McConkey slide, which I don't think they will. Yeah. I'm starting to think the wide receiver thing is done.
Pretty high.
Most of the teams in front need a wide receiver, specifically Buffalo. Like, Buffalo's got to set this off with a wideout, right?
Yeah. You would think.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that wide receiver, which if that's the case, okay, then just take three wide receivers off the board before the Texans happen, and then maybe we're talking Kool-Aid. Maybe I get to go get those Kool-Aid chills. And you better believe I'm buying Kool-Aid chills. I'm bringing them to Daly's Sports Club tomorrow. 11 o'clock, by the way,
throw
if I haven't mentioned.
Vodka
nice little party.
Yeah.
No, we're going to get Kool-Aid shots.
Yeah, go a little throw a little vodka.
We're going to make Kool-Aid shots if it's down. Daily Sports Club. Lopez might be there, but he might be heartbroken because J.P. France got sitting down, so we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, Nikki Buckets. Come on down. Daily Sports Club, 11 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm going to get me a Nikki Bucket. If
should
I
be popping.
Damn
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Probably taking about 8 hours
Here's
to drink
thing,
it,
though.
Too.
Let's say it is wide receivers, and most of these teams look at wide receivers at the top of the second round. That's still good. That's still just an extension.
A wide receiver's a luxury.
Yeah.
It's a luxury. It would be a nice luxury to have that you take advantage of. But look, there's two guys, McConkey and Mitchell, that I look at and say, okay, that would be luxurious.
Yeah.
If not, okay.
But they have the 10th overall pick today if they don't trade up. We were saying yesterday, hope they draft a lot of quarterbacks and receivers so all these other guys can be available for the Texans. Well, keep it going. You know, you can go McConkey, Mitchell. Maybe even Fisk goes high there. I know he's not a receiver. And then and maybe Franklin. And then you get to the Texans. They're like, hey, we still got our pick from cornerbacks and cornerbacks that are remaining, and every running back and every linebacker.
Almost. I mean, I'm surprised if you would have told me that we were having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Ever, I would think maybe that we got in a time machine and went back to the 50s.
Why is that?
Because we're sitting here talking about the Texans needing to pick someone at 42, and we're talking about a white DB and a white receiver.
Yeah.
What year is this?
Exactly.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh, he took the can't-miss offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, Joe Alt. Someone made a joke after Marvin Harrison and Joe Alt went and said, nepotism's a thing in the NFL. But this was CJ talking about Jim Harbaugh, what he thinks he's got going, and getting the best offensive lineman in the draft.
The culture change they're trying to do right now, fortifying the offensive line for Herbert.
Yeah, I was recruited by them as well. So, you know, I got to spend a lot of time with Harbaugh and his staff and the stuff that he was building. Of course, not my favorite people after I went to Ohio State, but a lot of respect for Harbaugh. I think that, you know, he's a hard-nosed football coach. He loves to run the football, and he loves to stop the run. And those are two things that he prides himself on. So this pick doesn't surprise me. I think Coach Harbaugh is, his mindset is, man, you can't throw the ball deep without protection. Mm. You know, so you can have all the receivers in the world, but if you can't protect, and then you have no shot from the forefront. And in this league, man, you win games and lose games from the O-line and D-line. You know, those are the best players in the world.
All right, there you go. So talking about Harbaugh, I think Harbaugh is going to do his thing. Man, you want to talk about needing receivers. My goodness.
Yeah.
What are y'all up to? Yeah. You got to think they're going to get in on that as well. Brock Bowers, he fell to Las Vegas. Good pick by them. That's going to be interesting. Here was CJ talking about Brock Bowers. Apparently, he said he was his second favorite. Was Pearsall his first?
That's a good – I think that had to be it, right?
Or is there someone that he liked more than Pearsall?
No, it had to be Pearsall. Yeah, it had to be.
You think?
I mean, look at how he reacted.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's just a passionate dude.
Yeah.
But here was CJ talking about Brock Bowers.
The closest thing maybe – I wouldn't say he's Travis Kelce, but he's up there. You put on the tape, dude. He's elite, quick. But plays big at the same time, doesn't lose one-on-one reps. And you can tell he's a dog. Like, every game he has his freaking shoulder pad up, and he's showing a shoulder pad. Like, to me, like, he don't care about his swag. Like, he want to hit some. But, nah, man, I think that's a great pick. I think Brock Bowers definitely was my second favorite player in this whole draft.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Had to be Pearsall.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Had to be.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
What if it's Adonai Mitchell? What if he's like Adonai? Oh,
starts doing God. A backflip.
Hey, he starts like Adonai. throwing his chair through the wall. If Adonai Mitchell goes,
like, what are we doing?
By the way, Adonai Mitchell broke CJ's heart, man. Maybe he has beef with him.
Oh, yeah.
Scored that game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
Ohio State versus Georgia. 54 seconds left. Adonai Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Corner of the end zone. Although the kicker didn't help. CJ led him down there, and kicker missed the field goal, but. Who knows, man? What a time to be alive. What a start to the draft. Went really well. There's a lot of possibilities. I'm leaning Kool-Aid right now because I'm starting to give up on the receivers. The more I'm seeing like these mocks, needs, all that stuff, I'm starting to think that the luxurious thing is gone, which is fine. You can just take them all. You can take
you are right. A lot of the teams up top are going to be needing a wide receiver.
Yeah. Maybe Franklin out of Oregon.
Maybe
Buffalo will set it off and just take a receiver we're not even thinking about.
Wouldn't surprise me, given where they are.
Boy, they're just giving.
Yeah.
Leggett, I bet the Texans like Leggett, too.
Yeah.
Let's go party. Let's go to the...
let's go party.
Let's go talk to Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley. They're out there among the people. How y'all doing?
Calm before the storm, man. A few people walking around out here, but it... Nice little cloudy day, but it's gonna be a good time out here as this draft party gets set, get going downtown here. It's gonna be a good time.
What was your? I know you got 4 hours to talk about this, but
you.
That's right. What was your biggest? Because what I said early on, and I've mentioned a couple times, we thought it could. You know what the ideal scenario was for the first round of the draft, and I think it was even better than that.
Yeah, I'd say my biggest surprise is that Joe Espada is North Turner, and Dave Campo deemed to be assistants. But I guess that's not what you're talking about.
Not really.
The draft.
Although I agree.
The draft. Man. Really, especially for the Texans, as I know you all love to localize it. For the Texans, man, it really sets up very, very well. And I've been saying this for a week, you know, and Clint maybe slightly disagrees with me on it. There's really nothing that they can do that would disappoint me.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that they could do, and then the board set up even more for that. It would seem that defense is the action, and hell, a defensive player didn't go for 14 picks. And there's corners. The D tackle, the one of the top two is still right there on the board in Johnny Newton. Corners, my dream, the white corner, is still there. I mean, it's all attainable right there for the Texans. It's hard to see them going wrong anywhere.
Hey, Tyler's laughing about the white corner. I told Lopez it's crazy. We're sitting here talking about early draft picks and two of the possibilities. We've got a white corner and a white wide receiver, man.
Sorry,
crazy
man.
World we're in right now.
Do you know how good he has to be?
Oh yeah,
to be a white corner from Sioux City, South Dakota, that went to Iowa, and that everybody had, you know, as a first or second rounder. Mm-hmm. I mean, he and not trying to change him position.
Yeah, they're not calling him a lunch pail guy either. They're saying he's an athlete.
He's got to be that damn good.
Yeah,
I would love to see.
You're absolutely right.
You should go check his basketball highlights. Yeah. Have you seen him?
He's only not a first round pick because of the bias.
Have you seen his basketball highlights?
He can get up a little bit.
Yeah.
He can go windmill on you.
Yeah.
Do his thing. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
God,
man.
I covet Cooper. I don't want that kid so bad.
Yeah, I don't know.
God,
if you're
I want
get
that
it.
Kid.
I don't know if you're going to get it.
I know.
You might. We might get Kool-Aid. I would take either him or Kool-Aid McKinstry. I'm a big fan on both of
them. I've had
guys.
Kool-Aid before. I've had that. I've had cherry. I've had pink lemonade, tropical punch. I ain't never had Cooper.
Pink lemonade?
Oh yeah, I used to
know
get
they
pink,
had that.
Oh, pink yeah. lemonade, and I would mix it with tropical punch. Ooh, I would mix them bad boys.
Ooh.
A probably suicide. A little bit too much sugar that I
yeah,
would
yeah, a little suicide working.
What about the blues?
Yeah.
The blues are nice.
Yeah, I'm not a big blue. Not a big blue, like blue raspberry. Not a big fan of that.
Oh, man.
Not a big fan of that. That pink lemonade tropical punch, that was my joint. Mix them up. Maybe a little grape, too. That was it. It's fun, too. Go ahead, Clint. My fault.
Oh, no. I was never a big Kool-Aid guy. I don't know. I never was a big Kool-Aid guy.
What were you? What was your childhood like treat? What was like your drink?
Man, I'll be honest with you, Lock Dog. There wasn't a whole lot to it, man.
Linda probably forced y'all to drink water and milk.
Well, we just didn't
sweet
have a whole
tea,
lot of options,
baby.
Man.
Sweet tea, yeah. That's
that we'd get into Dad's sweet tea from time to time and piss him off when he came home. Came off him 311s, and we done drank all the sweet tea. Boy, it'd be hotter than a firecracker. I tell you, this is awful, but I used to get really amped up about going around the street. There was a snow cone.
Oh hell yeah!
Spot right around the corner, and I literally would prefer to get. Just ice, and then sprinkle that lemon lime salt that everybody puts on their beer. Now I was sprinkling on my snow cones back in the day.
Man, you were destined.
Oh my.
Man, you're ahead of your
That's
time.
A lot, I
mean,
man.
That was it, brother, right there. I'll be honest. I wasn't a Kool-Aid guy. Wasn't a Capri Sun youngster. A little bit of Gatorade from time to time. You know, back then, Gatorade, everybody still thought it was what you had to drink after practice or during practice. Oh, yeah.
Tasted
deal,
awful,
so.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Gatorade used to taste awful.
Oh, my god!
Gatorade out of the can is the best, J-Lo.
No. I'm saying the original Gatorades tasted bad.
Oh, wow.
They got a lot better.
Oh, you
years.
Know what? Gatorade out of the can is.
It's the best.
It is something.
What happened to it? What happened to it?
Wow.
Without a doubt. These youngsters took over, needed more for less, of course. Needed bigger bottles that you could recycle and all that kind of crap instead of just that aluminum
can.
Got
a different kind of cold to it. Yeah, that is it. That's one I never thought of.
You're listening to KILT-AM, KILT-HD2, The Drive. Is live 4 hours from the draft, by the way.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.